Epistle for the Feast of Pentecost is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues, as it were, of fire, and it sat upon every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with divers tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, "Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, the strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. And the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that it when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And there appeared over them parted tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, how truly fortunate were the apostles and the disciples of our Lord in having with them the mother of Jesus during the days of preparation for the coming of the Holy Ghost on that first Pentecost. The very presence of Mary was in itself their best and consoling prayer. The assistance which Mary gave the apostles in preparation for the descent of the Holy Ghost was alone sufficient to win her the title of Help of Christians. The apostles found it very easy to obey their divine master and restrain themselves from trouble and sadness of heart because of his departure on the ascension. When they realized that his mother was content to remain with them and be the consoler of the afflicted. Moreover, consider how much Mary could tell them concerning the Holy Ghost. When you meditate on the third glorious mystery of the Rosary, you begin to realize that she probably answered many devout and reverent questions which the apostles would have put before her, that the apostles no doubt would have asked about the descent of the Holy Ghost upon herself at Nazareth. As one author puts it, in the midnight mystery of the Incarnation. But how little could the apostles at that moment, or how little can we today understand the interior preparation made in the depths of the Immaculate Heart of Mary for this last descent of her divine spouse? What, we may ask, or as we're meditating, comes to mind, did she now expect on Pentecost to receive from Almighty God? Looking at the life of the Mother of God from the beginning to the end, we might realize that, or think that, she had received everything possible, that all graces were already there, and she needed nothing more. And we know that God had adorned her with graces so great and so numerous that it would seem as though there was nothing more that she needed to receive. However, this visit of the Holy Ghost, which we celebrate today, Pentecost, where the third person of the Blessed Trinity came down from heaven, we know that that visit would please him. Because the heart of Mary is preeminently the paradise of God. Her heart is immaculate. She is the peerless queen, the peerless virgin, mother of God. And it is from her immaculate heart that the Sacred Heart of Jesus was fashioned. It was formed from her immaculate heart. That's how much confidence we should have in our Lord and our Lady. According to a certain author, he says that the descent of the Holy Ghost would be to behold its fairness, to rejoice in the fragrance of its flowers, in the sweetness of its fruits. The Holy Ghost, my dear friends, would, as we commemorate today, descend and manifest his divine complacency in Mary. And why? Because she had always corresponded promptly, fully. She had always corresponded unwaveringly to his divine inspirations. There were no inspirations sent by God by which she did not respond instantly, fully, and without any hesitation. no matter what. And even at the very time when she had to undergo the seven sorrows which pierced her heart, there was no hesitation. And even looking at the ascension, she never hesitated in her consent when he left her. She would have sorrowed seeing her divine son leave this earth and ascend into heaven. And she would have wanted to go with him to heaven. But she did not hesitate, knowing that it was God's will that she stay, that she remain here on earth for some greater good, for some mission. Because her desire was to serve God, and God, we know, had a future mission or work for her to accomplish. And again, in our meditating on the mysteries of the glorious mysteries of the Rosary and the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles and Our Lady, we might ask ourselves, well, what was this mission with which God intended for her to complete? Because we know that the apostles had been instructed to remain in prayer, that the apostles were told, you have to remain in preparation until you are endowed with power from on high, so that they might be able to go forth and to form the infant church. But why did the mother of Jesus have to remain? Why was she with them? It was that she also might be endowed with a new and special grace. And this grace was that she might fulfill and discharge those maternal duties towards the Church of Jesus in its infancy. The mission which she had received standing next to St. John with the other holy women there on the cross, Mount Calvary, where she received the mission to remain with the apostles, with us, with the church, the infant church. And look at all the virtues which she manifested to us, to the church, in detachment, great detachment, the longing with which she had to go to heaven with Jesus. She detached herself from that with courage. You can see patience, love, gentleness, the tender care which she manifested towards the mystical body of Christ. All the maternal offices, which began so wondrously years before in northern Palestine at Bethlehem, that these very offices were to be renewed and they were to be exercised in behalf of the infant Church of Christ on that first Pentecost Sunday, which began in Jerusalem. These maternal ministrations of Mary for the infant church were never to stop to this day, 2019, to the end of the world. Our Lady will be ministering for us from heaven until the time when the church passes away into everlasting glory. Will she remain? Until that time, we have with us our Heavenly Queen to protect us, to stand by, to ask for protection. Because in Genesis, it says that she will, with her heel, crush the serpent, Satan. That's how powerful our Blessed Mother is. So that everything now done in heaven by the Queen of Heaven, which she does in behalf of the church here on earth, it is all an outflow and a manifestation of the graces which he received on that first Pentecost Sunday. That's why, even though the month of May is over, we still have dedication and devotion. We stir up our love and devotion for our Blessed Mother. Even though the month of May is gone, we sort of transition from the primary focus of the Immaculate Heart to the heart which she fashioned, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the month of June. And so it was that the Queen of the Apostles sat with the apostles in the upper room. And as the apostles were being strengthened in the presence of the spouse of the Holy Ghost, suddenly the sound of his coming was heard. I would like to just read the short description given of this by a priest of the Oratory of St. Philip Neri, who describes the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the Apostles Mary in this way. The impetuous rush of those mighty wings, like a great wind, shakes the whole house in which they are gathered. And then those wings are folded, for he has come to abide with Mary and the church. And in silence, and in golden light, from the heavenly glow of flames, each soul is indelibly sealed and confirmed by the actual presence and immediate operation of God the Holy Ghost. The graces which the apostles received illuminated their minds. Their minds became so enlightened by the gift of the Holy Ghost that they immediately knew every revealed truth. Astounding how much we strive to learn, study, read, pray. And immediately the apostles knew every revealed truth. The grace the Paraclete gave the apostles strengthened their wills. The grace that the apostles received gave their wills so much strength that they were able to fulfill the duties of their state in life such as they had never before imagined they would be able to do. The apostles receive in the Holy Ghost an increase in sanctifying grace, the virtues, and the gifts. And in particular, they were given that strength of will and intellect to preach the gospel to the world. Imagine that. Who just days before the Pentecost, they were timid men, fearful, scared, hiding, seeking reassurance from the Mother of God. And it was no small task, humanly speaking. It was not easy to know that they would have to go out into pagan lands, into regions where God was not worshipped, and where they would have to stand in the face of governors, kings, and be put to death for the truth of the gospel which they would preach, to die martyrs for the faith. They were scared. But after Pentecost, they were filled with courage. There was no more fear. They went forth and preached the gospel to those who were hard of heart, who ran them out of towns and districts, who persecuted them, who were reluctant to listen. They continued on and on and on, as well as to the ones who wanted to learn more about the one true faith, the times when it would be, naturally speaking, easy to preach the gospel to. My dear friends, if the apostles were able to go from the states of being fearful and scared to fulfill the duties of their state in life, which was the apostleship. And then they were able to fulfill the duties of being apostles, particularly preaching the gospel throughout the entire known world. How much also shall we be able to fulfill the duties of our state in life if we ask the Holy Ghost for the grace to fulfill the duties of our state in life? We are very similar to the apostles. We fall into the same category as they did. Just as they were very fearful, timid, weak in the fulfillment of their apostleship before Pentecost, so too at times are we also tempted to give up in this state of life which we have been called by God to fulfill. And how else will we be able to fulfill the duties of our state in life unless, like the apostles, we go to the Holy Ghost? We go to the spouse of the Holy Ghost, our Blessed Mother, and ask them for assistance. So important to beseech, to petition the Holy Ghost for the graces that we need. It's not enough to know what we need. We have to ask. So let us then today sincerely consider during the Mass of Pentecost the graces we need. And when we find out which ones they are, with sincerity, courage, devotion, like the apostles, ask Holy Mary, she who is the spouse of the Holy Ghost, to implore the light of the Holy Ghost for us. And we can rest assured that the Holy Ghost will respond with a great increase in graces for us. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.